I'm Joe. I'm an addict.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Sam. I wasn't going to get up here either, but listening to some things Tuli said about when she first came in, and it took me back to not very long ago because I'm still a newcomer. I consider myself a newcomer because I feel like I'm still coming out of a fog. You know, I get confused about what's going on. I have opinions about everything, but my opinions can change from one week to the next, and depending on who I'm listening to at any particular time, so I know that I can get confused real quick. It seems like God always puts things in my way to bring me back down to earth, though, and that's what's been going on lately in my life. And I can't really get too concerned about what's going on in other places, because my own home group is struggling right now, you know, with trusted servants, people to be willing just to chair meetings. And it brings me back down to reality of what this is all about, you know, is like you said, one addict helping another and helping a newcomer. You know, thank God, I'm real grateful this morning for people like Tuli and Lynn and people that were real service-oriented when I first came in, because those were the people that kept me around and got me involved, and I needed to be involved. I needed to feel like I was a part of something. And I've been doing some type of service work since I got here. A lot of times I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I was just faking it till I make it. But, you know, I realized recently how important the traditions are. I started a new group, and you know, when you're in a group with other people that have been around a while, you kind of take the traditions for granted because they're there to guide you. But when you try to start a new group and you're not sure what you're doing and you're trying to tell newcomers how to do it, and you can see real quick how it can get way off base. And if you don't have a set rules to go by, the meeting can get off base and somebody might go back out and die, and it's real touchy. I'm real grateful. I don't think I'd be here today if it wasn't for the people that were committed to Narcotics Anonymous. I never went to that other fellowship, and Narcotics Anonymous is the only thing I've got. To me, Narcotics Anonymous are the people that have done the work, have committed themselves to NA and have stayed around and have not gone elsewhere. You know, those are the people that I look for experience and guidance. Like I said, I'm still in a fog. I've been here a little over 2 years, but I'm just now seeing things come up in my life and in this fellowship that I'm understanding a little more. The speaker last night said that she got out of this weekend was that we need to get back down to the basics. And I believe that, you know, the basics for me, when I first came in, I didn't understand anything. All I knew was, you know, don't use, go to meetings and pray. And I did that, and it worked. The steps, you know, if it wasn't for the steps, after 6 months of being around here, I would have been back out. Each time I hit a brick wall, you know, I went back to the steps. I went back to the basics, first three steps. Went to my meetings. And that's what I got to keep in mind, is the basics. I have a tendency to run off on these wild tangents and try to get outside of myself, you know, like Tuli said, you know, with other things besides my higher power. Because I really don't know who I am yet. I'm still trying to figure out who I am and trying to figure out what the purpose of me staying alive all these years is. And right now, all I know is that I'm here just to share my experience that Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. The people in Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. The people that were committed to Narcotics Anonymous. The people that stayed around long enough for me to get here. And I'm real grateful for that. I love everybody. I love all the people who've come in after I've been here. Because everything I tell a newcomer is something that I heard that was told to me when I got here. Sometimes I haven't experienced it yet. I just pass it on. And that seems to be what worked for me. And everything I heard my first sponsor tell me, I can still hear his voice, you know, ringing in my ears whenever I get to a step or whenever I am in a situation. I can still hear what he told me to do and what he did. And that's, for me, the bottom line is sharing my experience and listening to other people's experience. I don't follow their suggestions all the time. You know, I'm real rebellious. I'm real self-willed. But I think God uses those character defects to keep me alive sometimes. It helps me cope because I'm so scared. I have a lot of fear. And I use my bullshit, if you will, you know, to help me feel better about that fear. But I can tell you this, I'm not half as scared now as I was when I came in. You know, it's slowly going away. And I'm real grateful for that. And I love Narcotics Anonymous. I always have. The first big convention I went to, it blew my mind. You know, just like Carol said last night, I went to, I had 90 days and I went to Fresno 7 down in Florida and I just couldn't believe it. It blew me away. And what I've noticed since I've been here, the places I've gone, you know, the people that are around are the ones that are involved in service, the ones that are committed to Narcotics Anonymous. Those are the people that I see stay around. And I'm going to try to stay involved in service. I'm going to try to do what these other people are doing because I want what they have. I don't want to go back to the way I was. I guess that's all. I'm just grateful to be here. I love y'all. Thanks.
Love you. God will say it.
Thank God I'm just an addict today. My name's Doug.
Hi, Doug.
In case you call Drugless Douglas around Baton Rouge. So, my home group is the Union Rangers of Narcotics Anonymous. And that started out as a joke. Because we'll get some guns and go get some units. Just all just sit together and call, get some unity here. He said, oh, well, we just formed the Union Rangers, get our badges and stuff. And a group formed from it. And today the way we fight for unity is love, open arms, and forgiveness. That's how we fight for unity. And I, too, was one of these Anders when I first came in. I'm glad to have people there that set me straight. One individual, I call him my spiritual mentor, I idolized that fellow. Because he rode a Harley Davidson. And I could not see how. Well, I wanted to learn how he could ride a Harley and stay clean. So I listened to him. We called him Papa Smurf. Some of you may know him. Gray-haired individual. And he told me some wicked things. And it's like, I know it's being taped, so I'm not going to repeat it. And I'm grateful. If I can't find any gratitude, I've got to reach down to my big toe and hold on to it and be grateful that I'm not like I was when I got here. You know, doing all these obscene, insane things. If I have a disease, the only disease I know of that children don't have a disease. It's called disease of denial. Not a river in Egypt either. River right up in my head. It just washes away all the bad times. Let's remember the good times. Like down in Hippie Hollow, enjoying yourself in front of the sun, you know. Let's remember that. Then I remember the time I used to sit on my bed with the headphones on, with the 1 to 10 scale on my little stereo, cranked up to about 9, trying to drown out that pain, rocking, waiting for my connection to come in. And whenever the connection comes in, it's like, alright. Set the headphones down. Still loud music. And then whenever he leaves, it's like, oh shit. Where am I going to get my next shot from, my next fix from? Now let me remember that. When I go to rooms, any meetings I see where I could be at. I say, and you come and come in, hurting like hell. And being the best me that I can, that day, reaching out. And I'm grateful that I have a fellowship to go to, especially this fellowship, because you people are my family. My immediate family cannot relate to me at all. I go there with problems, you just shrug their shoulders and raise their hands. I go into a meeting in Narcotics Anonymous, and I share, which is honesty. You've got a level of feeling. Individual, yeah, I have a problem like that. This is what I did about, yeah, try some of this. I hear a lot about this feedback. And I was in here earlier and I heard feedback from this mic. And that's feedback to me. That hurts my ears. I love to hear experience, strength, and hope. That's what I love to hear. And recently, we have gone. I have a tendency of saying I. But when I say I, it's we. I got to keep that in mind. We have gone through a lot of things in this program. I'm truly grateful I got you guys here and girls. Because if I don't know where I'd be at. I've been through a marriage in recovery and a divorce in recovery. So I've lost a marriage to the active disease of addiction. I lost a marriage to my disease of addiction. My defects of character. That's my disease. My defects. I feel today. That's my personal opinion. And I've been involved in the service work. Well, no more than just picking up ashtrays and making coffee, sitting there, you'd really get involved. And I got involved in this PI work. And my higher power quickly showed me that's not the work I need to be in. And in December of 86, I became regional leader chairperson. I mean, didn't go to groups, area, to regional. Hook, line, and sink them. And I'm really grateful that this literature is written by addicts, for addicts. Because if we didn't have that, I've done a lot of World Service conferences and work with WLC a lot. I'm not here to defend WLC. And there's some things they do that I don't know if it was right. That's my personal opinion. And I'm entitled to that. Why can't I go out and share with a destructive way on this format or whatever you're going to use. Because I'm totally against this kind of professional writers. Whenever I seen a chairperson a while back, I said, man, how in the hell did that get through that we hire professional writers? And he says, Doug, we do have members of Narcotics Anonymous who are professional writers. I said, where? Show me one. And he showed me one. I listened to him. And he carried a dynamite message. And he was a writer. And I feel that if he goes the way we have it set up and goes to the group decision-making process, it will be Narcotics Anonymous literature. Because it's written by an addict for us. And I'm truly grateful that Narcotics Anonymous is what it is today. And that's all I can worry about today. I cannot look at the future and I cannot look in the past. Because if I'm looking in the future and the past, I'm not in today. And that's why I need to focus at today. So I want to share something that an individual, my sponsor, he's from Florida. The first time I heard him was at Knoxville convention when he spoke. He shared something to me that I hold with me today still. He said, there's nothing, absolutely nothing, will get better if I use over it. And that has held true for me on several occasions. Just this past year, in 89, my mother passed away. And that was one of the most difficult things we had to go through. That pain, that process, anger, resentment, being pissed off at God. That night, she passed away. The day, rather, it had a sign, a piece of paper, that if she ever had a heart attack, if she had another heart attack, they would not administer shock and let her die. Well, I was the last person to sign that piece of paper. And he got to me, picked it up, held my hand, looked at it. It took me a while to write it. I scribbled my name down there. As soon as I did it, I went downstairs to the chapel. And that's one place I'm not comfortable at all in, the church. I mean, it took me 20 minutes just to get in the chapel. Sat on the pews, and another 10 minutes to get on my knees. And I said one more prayer. God, if it's your will for her to die, do it quick. Please don't let her suffer. And that night, that's all left. Whenever I got up to leave, I knew in my heart that she was not going to make it. And I said, my final amends. Grabbed my hand and said, Mom, I love you. Later. I knew in my heart it was not going to be later. But I walked out the door. In fact, the next morning, when I got there, she had passed away. And they had people there waiting on me. My sister had called the fellowship. They knew before I did. I was grateful they were there. And shortly thereafter, I found myself running. I'm running. I'm not using chemicals, but running to recovery for those recovering addicts. So where I'm from, the closeness is not all that close. But I went down to yours. Visit. Had a little function going on down there. I went there, stayed, got what I needed, and came back. Went to Panama City for the son, this last one here. And I was not planning on seeing my sponsor there. He opened up the door. First person I seen was Biff. And it's like, oh wow, thank you God. More gratitude. I gave him a hug. As I gave him a hug, I busted out crying. And he backed away a little bit. He said, what's wrong, Doug? And I told him. And the first question he asked me, where are you at with the steps? That's what he wanted to know. I said, well, there's something that you shared in your tape that I still use today. That's what I said earlier, that nothing will get better if I use over it. And I added something to it. If anything, it'll get worse. I may be one laying on the side of her, 6 foot under. And he said, okay. And he hugged me tighter. And since then, it's been an uphill battle. A little, I seen last night a brick wall with NA busting through it. Well, personally, I don't try busting through walls today. I look around. I got another philosophy. I look around and see what kind of steps I can use to get over this wall. And I use the 12 steps in Narcotics Anonymous. It's the best way. That's all I have.
Another old time last thing for a long time.
My name's Jim. I'm the addict. How do you? Lynn tells me I'm an old fart.
Fellow old fart.
That's okay.
Thank God.
That's okay. My kids, when I turned 40 a couple years ago, my kids gave me a button and I wear it whenever I go out to convention. It says better over the hill than under it. Well, you know how when you go to a meeting that's just full of spirit, and you walk away from that meeting and just say, wow, I wish it would be another meeting. Now, that's the neatest thing about conventions. Now, I was just to a meeting, well, it was breakfast, really, and there were four of us, and we had a meeting at breakfast, and it was just so full of spirit that I had to come to another meeting and share. because it just fixed me. You know, it just got me so grateful. To me, gratitude isn't something that I talk about. It's something that I do. It's not something that you hear. It's something that you can see in me. So I don't really usually talk much about gratitude. But what I need to do now is I need to recommit to those things that I just learned in this meeting. So they're clear in my mind. So I realize in my heart completely, and I've made a public commitment to them, as well as the commitment that I've made to myself. It's clear to me what I must do now. It's clear to me what commitment I need to make. History, the history of NA, and looking at that history and having been a part of it as we all are a part of it. History that happened, history that's happening, history that we're making with our commitments and our recovery and our disease too. Looking back, being grateful, well, just having experienced those things. This morning, it all came together to me. It's at my home group. The answer to the resolution to my problems, the resolution to my disease, the resolution to how I feel and what I want to do is right there. It's right there. I don't know how long it's been since we sat down in a group meeting and talked about the nuts and bolts and how we more can effectively carry the message. Well, we're talking this morning at breakfast about the fact that our newcomers come from protected environments. How about them people who don't have insurance?
Sure.
Who can't get into the protected environments and come to us? It's been 5 years, 5 years since I got a call off the hotline that referred me to somebody who I went to their house who was detoxing. There, who had stopped or was in the process of stopping and wanted something different. All the rest of them have been folks that have had some kind of other contact, some kind of other experience. And how can we, right in our home area, because they refer calls to us that come from our area, you know, our town, how can we more effectively carry the message to those that haven't heard about us? And that goes another step, too, in the meeting and at the business meetings. Not the answers. The answers aren't what have come clear to me this morning, but the questions. You know? And I wonder if my home group, well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out what their answer to the questions are. But I finally found out what the questions were. You know, are the traditions a loose set of general guidelines to be interpreted? Or are they pure, complete principles to stand as doctrine? That's the question. Which are they to us in our group? Not to you or to NA as a whole, because we can't decide that until we decide which they are here in our group. And do we want, the other question, that's question number one, and question number two is, do we want a structure that serves our needs according to how we define our needs? Or do we want a centralized Narcotics Anonymous as a whole that defines services for us, those services that will be available? Which do we want? What do we want in our group? I don't know. You know, I feel so strongly about these things in one direction that I have a tendency to assume that that's exactly right and that everybody that I've been associated with must feel the same, but I've never asked the questions. I've never asked the questions. I tried to think this morning how many other people in my home group have sat with a detoxing shaken addict in their own home because they couldn't get them into a formal program because they wouldn't take drug addicts. How many of my people have, in my home group, the people that go to the meeting that I attend regularly have participated in 12-step call the way I did, but haven't for a while. Not about meeting somebody at a rehab and taking them out to a meeting. Not that that is wrong or bad or less than or anything like that. It's just different. It's just different. They come from a different place. Maybe, and maybe they have. And I don't know. And how many of those folks have stayed around our group? And what does our group do to attract new people? To keep us coming there? That's the answer. Those questions and asking them and finding out what my group believes. And you asking those questions and finding out what your group believes. And taking a look at our past, seeing what our mistakes have been and what our successes have been, and writing them down and making them part of our group archives before this old fart can't remember anymore. And the other old farts that are in my group can't remember anymore. So we don't have to make the same mistakes over and over again, and so we can build on the successes that we've had and share plain and clear with people that want to know. That's what history is about. That's what a celebration history is about for me and what I'm carrying away from this and the renewed spirit of group service, working with the newcomer one-on-one and sharing what I've been given. You know, I whine and cry because y'all can't do what I did. Participate in an open, participatory World Literature Committee. You can't do that. But that's true. But you can get just the same feelings at your group. Because our group did the same things and we got the same feelings by addressing the needs that we had on our own. Before there was an established service structure. And I just remembered that. And I'm really glad. I'm really glad that I got the opportunity to be here. Because that's just as important. This, right now, is just as important, just as critical to my recovery as the other thing that I remember so strongly, because it happened to happen at a real important time, but this is just as important. This is just as critical to what we're doing here, what we're sharing with each other now, is just as critical to what NA is today and will be tomorrow, as the writing of the book. I shy away from making those days so special and taking any kind of specialness away from today. I'm glad you taught me that. Thank you, and I love you.
My name is Pete, and I'm an addict. Hi, everybody. I'm very grateful to y'all, and I'm very grateful to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, because y'all have allowed me to be able to start incorporating into my life some principles like open-mindedness. I had very ambivalent feelings about this weekend and almost didn't come because I was just going to allow others to tell me what had happened, and I didn't want to get into any controversial positions or whatever, because I'd had enough. I have other things that I need that are more important at the moment. Thank you very much. But today, y'all have given me a little bit of what you have, or I've accepted a little bit of what you have, and I've gotten a little bit open-minded. You know, so I decided to come and check it out for myself. This weekend for me has been a very nice free flow of information. I'm a little sad that it wasn't a little more rounded, but everybody had the opportunity to be here. And that's how it works for me. You know, I allow myself to get the information because y'all have taught me that I need to get a well-rounded body of information. It's no longer necessary for me to try and do it on my own because we can do it. You know, I'm very grateful that here today and this weekend there are people that were in my first meeting. You know, and there are people that were at their first meetings that are here. You know, there are people that are here that I was in their first meetings. You know, that's how it works. That's how the history is current today. That's how I stay in just for today. Because I'm a product of what I have been and what y'all have been, and that's what we are together. You know, I've never had a place that I could go and be we. I've never had a place where they told me to come back consistently. You know, y'all have accepted me, which is really nice. You know, it makes this warm spot here get bigger. You know, it's not the cold spot that it was when I came. For that, I'm very grateful. You know, I mean, I think grateful is such an inadequate word. And I think, like you were saying, Jimmy, hopefully by what I do today, my gratitude will speak. You know, because y'all have given me that capability today that I can get out of me and let y'all come in. Yeah. And I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Hi, I'm an addict called Kevin. Hi, family. You know, I've heard a lot of people say stuff like, I don't know who's right and wrong, you know. And one of the things that I'm grateful for today, you know, is that I got the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, you know, to listen to both sides, you know. If someone had told me that I was going to come to this workshop, you know, and listen to this thing about this book, I'd have went to Jersey and went and watched my sister make a commercial, honestly. I'm being used as a pawn, you know, in my area, on both sides of this issue, you know. And I'm glad that I have the wisdom to know that this is what these people are doing, you know. These personalities clash, you know. And even if they use me as a pawn, you know, I don't just have to sit back and take it, you know. I can go out, you know, and I can get the facts, you know, and I can get the propaganda. And to tell you the truth, they can't figure out which is which. Yeah. But I can interpret it to the best of my ability today, you know. And that's what I'm doing, you know. It's like, I didn't want anything to do with being in this issue this weekend, you know. But my higher power didn't see that, you know. He knows that I'm caught up in the center of it, and I need the information, you know. And he put me here. I thank God that he worked, you know, I thank him that he works in my life today, you know. And I thank him that all you work in my life today. Because without you, you know, I have no idea where I'd be today, you know. I know where I came from, and I know I don't want to go back there, you know. And I know that the only way I don't go back is by just staying, you know. Because this program works, you know. Whether we work it or not, you know, it works for everybody around us. You know, I hear people say it works if you work it. Well, it works if you don't, too, you know. My biggest gratitude, you know, is that I woke up this morning,
yeah,
and I committed to stand clean another day, you know, so that all the rest of this stuff will fall into place.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opinions, and there's a lot of personalities, you know. And when I see the personalities come up, you know, that's when I got to grab my basic text, you know, and read the 12th tradition. And I don't just mean the tradition itself. I mean the whole chapter, you know. Because it tells me where it's at, you know. And it tells me how to live so that I can get the information I need and separate their personalities. Because when we truly apply that 12 traditions, you know, personalities are powerless. And today I can make personalities powerless, you know. I can be in one person's face on Wednesday, you know, and give them a hug 2 minutes later, you know. And I say, listen, I got a little bit pissed off, you know. And I can go to someone else, you know, and get more information on the next day, you know, and be both their best friends, you know, and not get caught up in that controversy. And sometimes that ain't easy, you know. It seems like we're caught up anyway, you know. But if we apply that tradition in our lives, you know, we don't have to make decisions based on that personality. And I see that happening in this fellowship today, you know. This personality is clashing with that one, you know. And I'm grateful that I don't have to participate, you know. And I'm grateful that I come up here and say, you know, when we practice the spiritual principle of anonymity, you know, none of us have to participate in that. We can render personalities powerless, you know, if we live the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, you know. And that's what I want to do today. Thanks for letting me check.
Morning, folks. My name is Lawrence. I'm an addict. I'm going to be an ender and a child of God. And I'm grateful for that. I've heard some controversy this weekend, and emotionally I tend to get caught up when somebody's, you know, up here and they're emotional and they're talking about what they are doing to us and to our basic texts and that sort of thing. I'm really not going to involve myself in the controversy while I'm up here before y'all right now, because what I'm feeling right now is that the program is working for me. I believe that God works in my life in spite of my character defects. In fact, sometimes uses those character defects to show me, you know, things about me that I need to know. I believe that can happen on a fellowship level too. I think that everything doesn't have to be, you know, nipped in the bud or, you know, beat over the head with a 2x4, you know, for it to work. The God that I have come to know in this fellowship is a God of love. And I believe that God's love can overcome any kind of ill that comes from our misguided efforts. And I tend to believe, maybe I'm naive, but I tend to believe that a lot of what this controversy about is not really from any malice or evil plots or that kind of thing. I believe it is misguided efforts, and I believe a lot of them come from good intentions. I think the idea of unity can be used as a wedge, you know, to drive between people. You know, it's always you that's not agreeing with me, so you're not with this unity thing, right? That's the way I hear it. I've also heard a lot of concern voiced about, you know, the addict who will die, you know, unless we get our act together kind of thing, or, you know. And I hear both sides, or all sides, using that phrase, you know, this, and I believe they really are concerned about the addict that, you know, that's still out there. But on the back of my medallion, it says that no addict seeking recovery need ever die. When the addict seeking recovery, when they didn't even have a basic text, the addicts who were seeking recovery and heard the message, I believe if you're genuinely seeking recovery, when I got here, it wouldn't have mattered if they were reading out of, you know, a comic book. If they were staying clean, I'd have fallen right in behind them because I was seeking recovery. I really was. Now, if we're trying to, you know, force-feed recovery to the world in this drug war and all this media hoopla that's going on, you know, then maybe we do need a fine-tuned, delicate instrument, you know, to force-feed it. But I believe that the God that's working in my life and that I see working in a lot of your lives, too, hell, all of you, if you're sitting here on a Sunday morning, you know, instead of recovering from Saturday night, that God is the instrument. When the student's ready, the teacher appears, and it's real simple after that. You know, that's not to take away from a lot of the concerns that have been voiced, you know, about the world service and the direction that it's moving in and that kind of thing. But it is to say that all is not lost, and I don't have to get in people's face, and I don't have to start taking their inventory when they're not acting like I think they ought to act and doing voting like I think they ought to vote and saying the things that I think they ought to say. Love you, folks. I've enjoyed the weekend. I enjoy controversy, though. So.
Hi, my name is Danita, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Danita.
Hi, family. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to my higher power for giving me an NA family. I was sitting there hoping I wouldn't cry. I get so emotional. NA has given me a life that's worth living. You guys have been a family to me. Okay. It's overwhelming. I'm coming down here from Detroit. The freedom I've got yesterday, I just felt totally free. There's so much I could say about this program, but you know how you can imagine what I'm feeling because y'all gave this to me. I never would have believed this. I enjoy being here to reach out to newer members coming in. Since I've been in this fellowship, I have a career now. I don't have to use anymore. I don't have to hustle, so I can use. I don't have to do that anymore. Y'all giving it to me. It's just wonderful. The freedom. Freedom, y'all. There's nothing more I could say than I love you, and thanks for being a family to me. God bless you.